from 90.1 WFYI Public Radio. Welcome to The Art of the Matter, made possible by the ongoing support of listeners like you, and by support from the Central Indiana Community Foundation, the Indiana Arts Commission, a state agency, and by the National Endowment for the Arts, a federal agency.
Hello and welcome to The Art of the Matter. I'm Travis DiNicola. The music for today's show is courtesy of the Vaseli Walrab Jazz Orchestra from their Heart and Soul album, available through Owl Studios at owlstudios.com.
And I'm Sharon Gamble.
Today I'll preview the upcoming Indiana Black Expo.
I'll chat with the pianistic pair Keynotes Duet.
Plus, I'll take a look at what's going on at Garfield Park this summer. And, of course, we'll have our arts calendar we call
What Do We Do? All this and more right after the latest news from NPR. This year's Indiana Black Expo's 39th annual summer celebration takes place from July 9th through the 19th, and there are plenty of arts and cultural events for everyone this year, as Travis DiNicola found out from Colleen Heater, the VP of Development and Advancement, and Rochelle Salary, their Marketing and Communications Coordinator.
Give me a bit of an overview of what people can expect this year at the summer celebration.
Okay, this year, well, we have a lot of new things that are going on within the exhibit hall. Of course, like as you say, it is an 11-day event starting in the 9th with our ecumenical service at Light of the World Christian Church. Throughout the week, we'll have our Black Business Conference going on starting Monday and going throughout that Friday. And it's great because it offers so many different businesses the opportunity to get the tools that they need in order to survive in the current economy. And so we're very happy that we're able to offer that to the community. And most of those are for free. You just have to register, and you can go online at www.indianablackexpo.com in order to register for those workshops.
And we have that special guest, Magic Johnson.
Yes, we
do. Yeah, I saw that. How cool is that?
Yes, we will have him on Wednesday.
Tuesday,
July the 14th, and he will be at our Youth Entrepreneur
Seminar
where he'll be able to talk to the kids, you know, those who are looking to start businesses are interested in doing it at a young age. And, you know, he's a very successful businessman. And so it's going to be a great opportunity for them to be able to talk to him and get some pointers from him about being an entrepreneur.
That's great.
And then he'll be at the business, the professional business card exchange.
Mm-hmm.
And he will actually be a keynote speaker that Tuesday evening.
Now, I've heard this professional business card exchange is a really huge deal. I mean, people come from, like, all over the country just for this, like, one event, right? I mean, this is some serious stuff.
Yes, there's a lot of networking that goes on at the business card exchange. And people make deals or people hook up on different kinds of joint ventures. And so it is a really, really great event at the convention center on that Tuesday evening at 6 o'clock, I believe it begins.
Yes.
Okay, and of course, for all of this and to register for any of the events that you need to register, the best place is the website?
Yes.
And most events are free, is that correct?
Yes, that's true. Most of the events throughout the week are free. Colleen will definitely talk about the film festival a little bit later on. Only during the weekend we have the events within the convention center, the exhibit hall, that you have to pay for, and it's $8 in advance to get tickets or $10 at the door. And we also have a 3-day pass, so you can get in that Friday, Saturday, and Sunday for only $19.99. And so we're really pleased about being able to make this very economical for people to come out to. In the past, we've done things like our concert that we will have on that Saturday, normally, which would be the 18th this year, and that would be something separate. This year, we're doing it a little bit different and bringing the entertainment inside the convention center. And so for that $8 in advance or that $10 at the door, people can see, you know, on that Saturday, people like Eric Benet, Alex Bunyan, SWV, and also get, you know, like the hip-hop tour. And so it's we're really glad that we are able to offer it to our to our constituents, and it is 4,000 in seating. It is limited seating within that for that concert, but mm-hmm. we're just happy that we can offer that, and we'll have a lot of different things going on in the entertainment hall throughout that weekend. And so we just want everybody to come out and enjoy. It is something for everyone. It's something there's something for everyone, for the whole family, so we want everyone to come out and enjoy.
I'd like to mention our employment opportunity fair. We really mm-hmm. expect that. We're going to get a lot more applicants this year. We have over 100 employers who will be there on site, and actually some workshops that begin on Wednesday, July the 15th, okay. and then the employment opportunity fair is all day on the 16th, on Thursday, and of course we have our great corporate luncheon, which is the biggest luncheon, I think, in the state of Indiana, mm-hmm. where we're honoring Jamie Foxx and Gabrielle Union
and Max Siegel, also honoring Teresa Patterson.
Yes.
Peterson, sorry.
No, it's Patterson. It's Patterson. Patterson.
You know, you guys probably have to have like a huge war room with big whiteboards or something to like just keep track of all the different things you have going on over the 11 days.
Yeah.
I can't even imagine how much. Of course, it's a year's worth of planning, you know, yes. each year for such a big event. How many people come to the Black Expo? What are you expecting this year?
Wow. We're expecting over 300,000.
Wow.
We typically have about 300,000 yeah. guests over the 11-day period, and this year we're expecting more because we're hearing that people aren't going to Disney World like they used to mm-hmm. or the Caribbean because of the economy, and they're staying at home and going to festivals in their hometown or nearby.
Sure.
So we're hoping to attract people from all over the Midwest, certainly, to come here. And because our event is so affordable, we think that, you know, attendance will be up this year.
I hope so, certainly. I would imagine it would be. And there's a lot, you know, as this show is the Art of the Matter, of course, I want to yes. talk about the arts and culture that's going on for the 39th Summer Celebration. Your Cultural Arts Pavilion features, I mean, all sorts, whether it's original art and jewelry and poetry and novels, so literary arts. You mentioned the Film Fest. Tell me about what's going on at the Cultural Arts Pavilion. It seems to keep growing each year.
It does. The Cultural Arts Pavilion is really the largest collaboration of arts and cultural groups in Indianapolis. And it starts with the film festival mm-hmm. that begins on Saturday, July 11th at 4 o'clock at the Walker Theater Center with our partner, Heartland Truly Moving Pictures.
Mm-hmm.
We are actually
a great organization.
Oh, absolutely. Mm-hmm. We're rescreening two of their award-winning, Crystal Heart award-winning films, Pray the Devil Back to Hell and War Child. And these films are both based in Africa, or the settings are in Africa, and they're about the struggles that that people have to go through in Liberia as well as the Sudan.
Mm-hmm.
And they're just some outstanding documentaries, and I think that people will really enjoy them.
These are pretty intense films.
Oh, they are very intense. Mm-hmm. And there are some graphic images, so I would like to caution your listeners, you know, they might not want to bring their children because there can be some very upsetting scenes.
But what a great opportunity. I mean, here are two of the Crystal Heart Award winners that, you know, some people got to see during Heartland, but, of course, you know, other people, they heard about it and they get a chance to.
Right.
Now here's another chance on that Saturday the 11th, 4 o'clock, down to Madam Walker to see both those films.
Yes, and they're free. And on Sunday, we're heading up north to the Indianapolis Museum of Art to the Toby
mm-hmm.
or the Tobias Theater to screen Trouble the Water, which is another award-winning documentary. It won the 2008 Sundance Film Festival Best Documentary, and it is a moving personal account of Kim and Scott Roberts, who videotaped the entire Katrina devastation before, during, and after. And
wow.
The film is just really outstanding. I think we've gotten a lot of phone calls about that. So lots of people want to attend. Once again, it's free, and we're partnering with IMA as well as the Indianapolis International Film Festival.
Yet another great organization. And one thing I thought was really cool that you're doing with that is pairing that that featured movie, Trouble the Water, with a couple of the shorts.
Yes.
One called One Nothing, the other called The Workout.
Yes.
So that's a great partnership with the Indianapolis International Film Fest.
Right. Yeah, those are some great shorts. And then we're concluding the film festival on Thursday, July 16th at 7:30 back at the Toby,
mm-hmm.
and we're featuring Prince of Broadway, which is a really good movie. It's a feature film. This is our only feature film. Everything else is either a short or a documentary, and it's very entertaining, and we'll also show the short Sinner Man, and both of these films are based in New York City.
Very cool. That sounds great. Now, along with all the films, you've got a lot of visual art, and we mentioned literary arts.
Tell me about
the artist market. That goes from the 17th through the 19th.
Yes. Yeah. At the Cultural Arts Pavilion, we're in the Convention Center from Friday, July 17th through Sunday, July 19th. And we feature artists who are showing and selling their original works of art. We have artists coming from Michigan, Atlanta, New York, Texas, and all around Indiana.
Mm-hmm.
And we even have a special booth called Obama Art, because there are some artists who have actually been inspired by President Obama, and they're bringing some of their prints and their original pieces to exhibit and sell.
That's great.
Yeah, it's really there. These are some wonderful artists. Artists are selected,
mm-hmm.
and I am just amazed at how the quality continues to rise. I mean, these are some very outstanding award-winning artists. So I hope everyone comes out to see them. We also have the gallery in the Heritage Room, which features a lot of historical exhibits from Indianapolis in the 1940s and 30s. We have a great photo exhibit that the Indiana Historical Society will be featuring, along with some interesting information about Robert Kennedy's visit here in 1968. Our other partners include Crispus Attucks Museum, the Harrison Center, Heron School of Art and Design, the Indiana State Museum, and the Indiana African American Genealogy Group. And all of them have some really outstanding exhibits. Of course, Heron School of Art and the Harrison Center will be featuring some art from some extremely talented students.
Yes.
So I think everybody would be amazed at how talented the students here in Indianapolis are. And then, of course, we have our Authors Parlor and Literary Cafe, where self-published authors from all around the country will be here to sign their books and do book readings.
Nice. So you can hear some readings and mm-hmm. get your book signed and meet some authors. All very great stuff. And that's all part of the admission when you go into the convention center for all the other exhibits, right?
Absolutely.
Yes.
Okay. Very good. And I saw that State Farm is presenting all of that for your the arts and culture, and that's great that they're doing that.
Oh, yes. State Farm has been a partner for many years, and we really appreciate everything that they do. They're very hands-on, and so we couldn't do it without them.
So I know that it's certainly not possible to say, like, you know, what's your favorite part or what's the thing you're both looking forward to the most. But let's say that a family of four wants to come down and maybe spend one day at Black Expo. What's the best way for them to do it?
Well, first I think they should take a stroll through the Cultural Arts Pavilion.
Okay.
And then they could maybe stop in the entertainment hall,
mm-hmm.
which is at the end of the hallway of the Cultural Arts Pavilion. Then they could mosey on around through the retail zone on their way to the food zone, because fried fish is
back. The food is really important.
Very important.
Absolutely. We have some outstanding food vendors this year. And believe it or not, when I said the fried fish is back, that's really important to a lot
mm-hmm.
of people, because we didn't have it last year.
Right.
Because of a lot of the moves that were going on at the convention center itself.
And it sounds like you heard a bit about that, too.
Oh, so, absolutely. Okay. People called and complained that they couldn't get their fried fish. So we want everybody to know it's back.
Great. That's very good news. And again,
The kids. I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah.
I hate to interrupt, but the kids, we have Kids World, the Kids Zone that's right next to the food zone, a food court. And so the kids can go play on stage. We have fitness instructors that will be taking them through some fun physical activities and lots of games and I think some big blow-up balloons that they can bounce around on.
Very
so,
interactive.
Yeah, very interactive things for them to do.
That's great. Well, and of course, in addition to all that, there's lots of great information about education and health and wellness and the community. All really, you know, sort of all aspects of what makes a life worth living.
Travis DiNicola with Colleen Heater, the VP of Development and Advancement for the Indiana Black Expo, and Rochelle Salary, their Marketing and Communications Coordinator. This year's Indiana Black Expo's 39th annual summer celebration takes place from July 9th through the 19th. More information at IndianaBlackExpo.com. You're listening to The Art of the Matter on WFYI 90.1 FM Public Radio.
Marvin Friedman and Peggy Reich-Lannard have been in the right place at the right time a lot lately, as Sharon Gamble found out when she chatted with this pianistic pair recently.
So as we're having this conversation, recording this conversation, you probably still have applause ringing in your ears from the concert. Tell us about the concert. How did it go?
Oh, you couldn't believe it. It's the most exciting experience in the world to appear at Carnegie Hall. The energy level was so high, and the hall was filled, nearly 300 people.
Oh, my gosh.
And everybody's clapping and applause, and you come out, and you look there, and it's such a warm feeling that, in actuality, the nerves just melt away, and all you want to do is entertain those people. It was a wonderful experience, an experience of a lifetime.
Peggy, did you have the same experience?
Yes, I did, and playing Carnegie for me definitely was one of my dreams I've had ever since I started taking piano lessons at the age of four. And it was very exciting because not only is it a dream that was one of my dreams that was fulfilled, but I was able to play for both of my parents, and they were both able to attend.
Aww.
My father actually is 91 years old, and my mother is 88, and they enjoyed the concert tremendously.
What a gift to be able to have that experience together. Let's talk about the Bradshaw and Buono, am I saying that correctly?
Yes.
Commonly known as the B&B,
yes.
International Piano
yes.
Competition.
Yes.
You've obviously been aware of the competition for some time, but how do you make a decision to enter a competition of this sort? At what point do you say, I'm ready now, or this might be useful for my/our career? How do you decide?
Well, it's really one of the most fantastic stories to tell. We met through a well-known person in Indianapolis, Lucina Moxley, and Peggy was playing duets with Lucina on two pianos. Peggy and I play on one piano.
Mm-hmm.
And I was taking piano lessons from Lucina, and they were giving a recital, and Lucina, after the recital, introduced me to Peggy. And, Peggy said, you know, would you like to play duets with me? And I said, sure, why not? And so, but I said, I'd like to do it on one piano because nobody ever has two pianos. And one day, 3 months after we started playing the piano together, Peggy said to me, I've been looking at the internet and there's this competition and there's no age limit on it. Would you like to go into it? And I said, I don't know. We've only been together for 3 months, and this was last year. And she said, well, she said it would be good practice. So I said, okay.
You're a good saleswoman, Missy.
I said, we'll try anything once. And lo and behold, out of the blue, we won. We took second place in an international piano competition. Well, we played here last year for the second place winners. This year, of course, we were already prepared, and we went into it again with the idea that we really, really wanted to play in Carnegie. The second place winners last year were not allowed to play in Carnegie, and this was a big dream.
We decided to pick some pieces that were very captivating, and the reason why we chose the pieces that we did was to show both a tremendous visual and musical presentation, and at times when watching us perform, it's almost a gymnastic quality of four hands at the keyboard. It's really fascinating. And so then once we knew that we were going to be entering again, we decided, well, hopefully maybe we would be able to do another wonderful performance. And that's the reason why we chose both the Poulenc Sonata and the Dvorak Slavonic Dance that we did.
Now, here's a question for people in our audience who maybe don't follow music
as closely. How much repertoire is out there for one piano four hands? Can the rep for two pianos four hands, a more traditional duet or a different model of duet, be adapted to one piano four hands?
Well, your first question, how much? There is quite a bit of piano work for one piano four hands. Actually, the first duets that were written before even the piano was invented. That's hard to believe, but there were other keyboard instruments. And so there are many, many pieces, one piano, four hands. There are many pieces that have been transcribed for two pianos and four hands, and there seems to be, it's plentiful, both for both mediums.
How do you negotiate the teamwork required? I mean, you both have long and deep careers as solo pianists as well. It seems to me that when you first start playing two people at one piano, there might be a little tussle over, okay, who's controlling the pedals? How do I stay out of your way, even though obviously my part's at this half of the keyboard and my part's mostly on this half of the keyboard? How do you do that? Without bruises.
May I? Yeah.
This is over the phone, but I can tell you're both thinking how honest to be with me.
No. Actually, some of this is traditional. You know, it's interesting to note that before there were electronics, before there was TV, before there was radio, before there was all of the entertainment that there is today, there were keyboard instruments in the parlor. And usually, of course, people only had one keyboard. They didn't have any more than that. And the fellow would come over, and, you know, it was a good way to sit next to your girlfriend and an acceptable way to sit down and play a duet on a keyboard instrument with her. There is tradition involved in one piano and four hands, and that is, number one, the music is used. It's not memorized. So during a performance, you will normally see one piano, four hands. You'll see people playing with the music. Sometimes the man gets to sit at the top, or the woman gets to sit at the top. It's not that's not preordained.
Mm-hmm.
But the pedal is usually controlled by the lower pedal. By the lower hands,
and at times we do vary depending on what is being played at that moment. We just usually work out the intricacies together pretty well. We've never, I don't think, as of yet, we've had any trouble working out where our hands go. We can usually maneuver our hands throughout the keyboard. And keep the flow going very nicely. So far, it seems that the pedaling, we often will even alternate pedaling in a particular piece, and we know when to switch, depending on possibly who's playing more of the melodic section at that moment.
So it's a little like playing chamber music with, say, wind instruments, where there becomes almost a mind reading or a shorthand. I know when he takes a breath like
exactly.
That, what's going to happen. It's remarkable teamwork if you think about it.
Yeah, and I'm very lucky because Peggy and I do work very, very well together.
There's some things that are very instinctual that we just realize this should be happening at this moment, and we come to that decision almost simultaneously, which works out very well.
You know, you speak as though you've been playing together for 25 years instead of 2 years. It's astonishing. What is a typical rehearsal week like for you?
And are you there?
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
yep.
I'm sorry. We try to get in several hours a day. We love to get in more. But Peggy is a professional teacher, and she works, and so some. sometimes we can't get in as much as we like.
There's never enough hours in the day to do everything. I find that we enjoy always going over some new music, picking out new things, as well as perfecting some music for upcoming concerts. And there's always so much music out there. We just seem to always never have enough hours, but we try to put in as many as we can.
Absolutely.
On a daily basis.
Yeah. You know, quite coincidentally with the winning of this competition and the Carnegie Hall performance, you just moved to New York. Was that to pursue teaching opportunities, or how did that decision come about?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear your question.
Sure. Coincidental with winning this competition and the performance at Carnegie Hall, you just moved to New York. Did you do that for teaching opportunities, performing opportunities, some of both?
Well, actually, I moved back to New York originally to be here for my parents, actually, who are 91 and 88.
Mm-hmm.
That was originally why I moved back. I had a studio in Carmel with quite a few students, about 60 students, and established a studio there for about 20 years and chose that it was time to come back. And then I thought, with being back here, this was such a wonderful place to be. New York provides so many opportunities for musicians, and we decided to continue our performances here in New York.
And any chances of coming back and concertizing in the Indianapolis area in the near future?
Oh, absolutely. we're hoping to come back. We gave a recital on February 28th at Munger Hall. That's Meridian Music.
Mm-hmm.
That's Craig Gigax. And he was so kind to us, and I really have to thank him. Part of the reason we were able to enter this contest was because we took some of the music from that recital and entered it into the contest.
Huh.
So we do hope to return to Munger Hall in the future. Craig he's been great to us. We cannot thank him enough.
Sharon Gamble with Marvin Friedman and Peggy Reich Leonard, also known as the Keynotes Duet. The one piano, four hand duettists perform in Indiana and New York City. For more information, you may visit their website at keynotesduet.com. Again, keynotesduet.com.
You ready, Travis?
Yes, I am, Sharon.
Okay. All together now. Ooh.
Ooh. Ah.
Oh.
That was well done.
What does it mean? Well, because it's radio and you can't see the fireworks, it means it's Independence Day weekend.
Oh, is that what that was? I thought we were just like imagining a trip to the IMA or something.
Oh, what a clever segue.
Well, here we are with some ideas of things to do this Independence Day weekend on
What Do We Do?
Actually,
show your independence by doing something artistic.
There's so many cool things going on this
Absolutely.
Weekend. I mean, especially, you know, if you want to go downtown to see the fireworks, know that there's a lot of neat stuff, including at the Eitel-George Museum. They're doing free admission from 4:30 to 9 o'clock on the 4th for people who want to go down there
That's smart.
The fireworks. And there's also an ice cream social during the day at President Benjamin Harrison Home. And concerts on the canal and an Indians game and all types of stuff going on.
Oh, my goodness. You could just go and stay the whole day.
There you go.
I love that.
If you don't have plans yet, head downtown.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And the fun doesn't have to stop this weekend, because next weekend on July 11th, that's next Saturday, Rock the District is the Carmel Arts and Design District's full-day music mecca and shopping extravaganza.
Rock the District.
Rock
all right.
the District. They are expecting to bring more than 10,000 people to Old Town Carmel from across the Midwest. All kinds of great music, from acoustic pop to soulful rock and R&B to, as they say, much, much more. And there are more than 100 specialty shops, galleries, and vendors will be open to greet visitors. Also, check out the Kids Zone, which is as you might imagine, activities appropriate for your younger children, and Rock and Recycle. Rock and Recycle, a special exhibit devoted to living a greener lifestyle. So it's all going on in Carmel next Saturday, July 11th. Rock the district.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. Hey,
you know what? I actually have something else going on up in Carmel as well.
What do you got?
They're doing on Sundays Jazz on the Monon. And this is a series of jazz concerts on the Monon at the Monon Greenway from 1 to 4 p.m. every Sunday, southwest corner of Main Street up there. And, in fact, on the 5th, they've got the Cocktail Sax Band, and then the Uptown Quartet on the 12th, and Monica Herzig on the 19th.
Wow.
And it goes all the way through the middle of August with free concerts, again, from 1 to 4 every Sunday up at Main Street and the Monon up in Carmel as well.
Excellent. Hey, if you want a little bit of a road trip, you can head out to the Red Barn Theater, which is a couple of miles outside Frankfort, Indiana. They've just put up the comedy Wise Women, written by Ron Osborne. And they have a whole summer series going on, including upcoming productions of an action comedy called Books and the Neil Simon Marvin Hamlisch musical. They're playing our song. So lots of cool things going on at the Red Barn Summer Theater.
Very good. I love going to summer stock and summer theater.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, in fact, I was
good
just
thing.
Down in Brown County for the Brown County Theater down there and saw a fun show, All Night Swing, sort of a musical review with IU students. Yeah,
that's
they've got
fun.
A lot of good neat shows coming up there, including a Noel Coward show later this summer I'm looking forward to.
All right.
Hey, something going on this weekend. It's Wednesday night at the Central Library from 6 until 8 p.m. It's the Get Indievolved. That's right. Get Indievolved event, and it's hosted by Indie Hub, and this is their annual summer event where they bring together a whole bunch of different organizations. WFYI or Indie Reads, and they have information there for people who want to get involved with volunteering and other ways to help out some not-for-profits. It's free from 6 till 8 Central Library this Wednesday night.
All right. There's some information in this next item that I don't fully understand, so I'm just going to read some of it verbatim, and we'll go from there. Next Saturday, that's July 11th, starting at 3 o'clock and going till the wee hours, apparently, is something called the Pirad Fest 3. Not pirate, but Pirad, P-I-R-A-D, Pirad Fest 3. It's happening again this year. It's a testament to the survival of another year of our beloved all-ages venue and all-ages scene. In previous years, Pirate Fest has raised money to buy subs and monitors. I don't know whether they mean submarine sandwiches or subwoofers, but those of you who know what I'm talking about. This year they're going to raise money to fix the Street Fighter II machine in the ES jungle. And there are many good bands, many favorite local bands mixed in with a few choice bands from around the country and the world. Bands include Pleasant Run, Heck Yes, Up Scumbag.
I love it when you speak English, and yet I have no idea what you're talking about, Sharon.
I do, too. And a band called Subatomic. I'm sure they hold the key. It's like the Rosetta Stone for everything I just said. Pirate Fest 3 will also feature a completely free market that you can contribute to or take what you need from, and a potluck supper that will happen somewhere around dinner time. So bring stuff to grill, stuff to give away, and feet to dance. And this is all happening. I may go just because I have no idea what it is. 6151 North Central Avenue, starting at 3 o'clock next Saturday, Pirate Fest 3.
Wow.
And if you go and find out all about it, drop us an email at artofthematter@wfyi.org. I don't make this stuff up.
No,
I couldn't.
Or, you know, you can go to the WFYI website, look for Art of the Matter. There's a place there where you can submit things just like this. You know, we can't always include everything, but boy, do we try.
We'll try.
Speaking of which,
Up Scumbag.
Wow. In a totally different vein, the 20th annual Ice Cream Social on the Circle event is coming up this Friday.
This I understand.
Yeah, well, and this is through the American Dairy Association, and it's, you know, it goes from 11 until 2 on the Circle. Chocolate, strawberry, caramel, hot fudge sundaes. They, you know, Edie's slow churned ice cream and Smucker's syrups and all types of toppings.
What day is it again?
And of course, you get a big dollop of whipped cream on top. It's next Friday, the 10th, and it benefits Marlon Jackson's Fight for Life Foundation. And it's from 11 until 2 on the Circle next Friday.
Mm. Mm-hmm. Good ice cream weather. hey, at Dean Johnson Design in their gallery on the main floor, they just opened a show. this week, and it is called In the Gallery, Black and White. And not every piece in the show is black and white, but some of the best photographers in Indianapolis have submitted some of their black and white photographs. Some of their black and white photographs in the show called Black and White at Dean Johnson Design at Park and Mass Ave in the Mass Ave Theater and Gallery District.
Very cool. Hey, last thing that I've got is if you missed the opening, the show goes on all month at the AB Framing Gallery down in Fountain Square, and the show is titled Life Has Moments, and it features work of John Crow and Jocelyn Virgin Crow, and the two of them are celebrating the opening of their new Crow's Eye Photography Studio, and I've seen a lot of their work. It's really impressive. Great portraiture. Really just, they've got an interesting eye, a neat couple that work together on this, and so this is the first time they're doing a big show of their work, and it is all month long at the AB Framing Gallery in Fountain Square on Shelby Street.
Very good. I have a visual art item to end with as well. It's a two-man show, new works by Mark Pack and Max Stolkin. It's called Deliberation, and it is at the Art Box. So
and
see sculptures and paintings. Have you been?
It's a great show.
Yeah.
It opened in June, and
right.
It was so popular they carried it over through the rest of July.
Held over by popular demand. We
so
love that.
If you haven't had a chance to see it, I highly recommend it. Mark's works are just fantastic. He's the guy I had on the show who does the work where he makes paintings that he sort of carves up, and they look like samples.
Right.
So really great stuff. Worth checking out.
And he's an independent artist, and that's how we got into this thing, and that's probably how we'll end.
Let's
Happy
go.
Independence Day weekend.
Independence Day, Sharon. Now let's go watch some fireworks.
Ooh.
And we'll see you all next week
for more of
What'll We Do?
You're listening to The Art of the Matter, a weekly show about the arts in Indianapolis and Central Indiana. Your hosts are Sharon Gamble and Travis DiNicola. If your arts organization has an event or activity of which you think we should be aware, please contact us at least 3 weeks in advance. You can write us at The Art of the Matter, care of WFYI, 1630 North Meridian Street, Indianapolis, Indiana, 46202. Or you can email us at artofthematter@wfyi.org. You can also hear The Art of the Matter on wfyi.org.
On Indy's south side, Garfield Park boasts gardens, a conservatory, a pool, a performing arts venue, and an arts center that has something going on every day this summer. Travis DiNicola spoke with the arts center's new facility manager, Tom Weidenbach, and Leslie Meyer, who is the assistant manager of the Garfield Park Arts Center.
Leslie, Tom, welcome to Art of the Matter. Great to have you both here.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And I understand this is actually kind of a new position for both of you. Leslie, we got to know each other quite a lot with your work at the Studio Gallery out in Irvington.
Mm-hmm.
And so now you're down with Indy Parks at Garfield. Congratulations on that.
Thank you very much. I'm very excited.
And Tom, you're also pretty new with Garfield Park, right?
That's right. Just came on board last October.
Fantastic. Well, you know, Leslie, when you contacted me, I was really excited about talking about this because I just think the Arts Center down at Garfield Park is such a gem. It's such a cool facility. It's a great part of the Indy Parks network and the South Side.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, unfortunately, I know there's still a lot of people who are not familiar with this very cool building at this very cool space. So before we get into all the stuff going on this summer there, why don't you guys give me sort of a brief background on the building?
Happy to. Sure. Garfield Park was the very first park here in Indianapolis, and the building that is now the Arts Center was built in 1922. It was a family center for a time. They actually had a Garfield Park Zoo out of the building for a while, and then it became a family center with the kinds of games, basketball, all that kind of good stuff. And then when they built the new family center down there, mm-hmm. it was many years just sat vacant and neglected and falling apart. And finally, Parks had to make a decision whether they were going to restore this historic building or whether they're going to tear it down. And thank goodness for mm-hmm. Leslie and I and mm-hmm. the whole Indianapolis community. They threw a few million dollars at it and made an incredible art center that opened in 2006.
Yeah, it is just a great facility. I got to visit a couple times when they were doing the renovation. It was amazing to see all the work. Now, wasn't the parking lot that's there, wasn't that like a swimming pool at some point?
It was, indeed.
I'm not making that up then.
No,
okay.
You are not making that up. I can't tell you how many times people walk in and say, I remember swimming here as a child.
Yeah.
That way, you know, to the left were the boys' locker rooms, to the right were the girls' locker rooms, and this is how you got your basket to put your clothes in. And it's just amazing the stories that people will come in and share with us about their time growing up around Garfield Park.
Sure. And all those same people love to tell me that my office is where the women's restroom used to be.
Yes. There are so many tales about the spaces in our building. We learn something new literally every week when someone comes in to share with us. It's neat. It's a beautiful building.
Now, the space that's there, it's a combination of this performance space, there's mm-hmm. Studio space, there's gallery space, mm-hmm. Lots of different things. I know, Leslie, you mentioned you're in the middle of a theater camp right now. Tom, you're doing a pirate shtick? Is that
the... That's right.
Let's start with that. Tell me about your Indy Parks Pirate Stand Adventure and the art show. Is that right?
That's right.
We are
very, very excited about the Pirate Stand Adventure. The director of Indy Park, Stuart Lowry, came to me and said, let's do something big, and let's make Garfield Park the center of it all for the summer. And so we came up with a sand adventure. What we're going to be doing is shipping in 200 tons of sand, literally, and we're going to dump it just west of the Arts Center in the middle of Garfield Park. And then over an entire month, from July 18th to August 16th, mm-hmm. some artists who are professional sand sculptors out of the mm-hmm. Chicago area are going to come in and they're going to carve into these mountains of sand and create six sculptures all around a pirate theme, including a 100-ton pirate ship, a 20-ton sea creature attacking some poor pirates,
yeah.
a 20-ton mermaid's cove, and several more. It's just going to be an incredible experience to watch these artists at work. And then as soon as you get inspired, families can turn around and become sand sculptors themselves in some sandboxes, 20 of them, all around the grounds.
Okay, Tom, I got to stop you here for a second because I'm thinking, you know, when I've made sandcastles, it's at the beach. Now, and there is no beach at Garfield Park, even though it sounds like you're trying to make one. And, you know, sand generally has to be kind of wet. How does the material work? I mean, I just, you know, sort of picture all the sand sort of, you know, flowing away like the sands of time, but something's got to bind it together. How does this work?
I've learned more about this than I ever thought I would, and mm-hmm. it's just like any, you know, ceramicist or someone who works with rock, they're very particular about the material they work with. Not all sand is the same.
Okay.
I won't go into this at length, but the sand that you work with at the beach has been tumbled mm-hmm. so many times, it's basically round. The little granules are round, so they don't want to stack.
Okay.
But if you get pulverized rock that's been turned into sand, it's very jagged, and it will actually stack on itself.
Okay.
And it's much easier with a little water, which acts as a glue, basically as a bonding agent, to create these very tall structures and then create amazing things. You can create tunnels that you can actually go into, and it supports itself. It's really amazing.
Mm-hmm. That's pretty fantastic.
It is.
I can't wait to see these sand sculptures.
It's amazing. It's so unique that it's hard to describe it. Yesterday I was challenged at the downtown trying to explain this on the circle, and it's very difficult to convey what 200 mm-hmm. tons of sand sculpted like pirates looks
really
like.
How much is it really?
Is 200 tons? I mean, is that like I don't know how many like dump trucks?
It's hard for the artist. I've asked that question in a myriad of ways mm-hmm. to try to understand how big an area we need. He said, well, let's start this way. The 100-ton pirate ship will be roughly 26 feet long and 15 feet wide and between 12 and 15 feet tall.
Yeah.
So this is dramatic.
That's a lot of sand.
This is dramatic.
Okay.
It really is.
And while you're there, I should mention that you can also take part in workshops. There's two series of workshops.
Okay.
A family series for where, you know, little Sally and big Johnny and everybody can kind of come together and learn some basics of sand sculpting, the art of sand sculpting.
Mm-hmm.
Those who are a little older.
I totally want to go sculpt in sand.
Yeah, you're going to get the comments.
So for the teenagers and adults, we have master classes where you can learn the finer arts of how to make some of these very intricate works.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. How do people find out about it? Your website? Is that
certainly
the best way?
Yeah, that's right. You want to go to the park's website, which is indieparks.org.
Mm-hmm.
You can go there, and then we are going to start blanketing.
Garfield Park.
That's right.
Okay.
Uh-huh. Well, actually, we're not even going to make it that difficult. You get on the front page, and it's going to have a huge splash. You click it. You're having fun. We're also going to be working with Moms Like Me to spread the word. Indie Star. We're going to have an exciting animated front page on their online paper. We're going to be working with the Indians, Indianapolis Indians, and we're going to have a night out at the ballpark on July 21st.
That's a pirate-themed night. You can dress up like a pirate and come out and support the Indians at the baseball game and see one very particular pirate singing Take Me Out to the Ball Game during the seventh inning stretch at center field.
Well, yeah, of course, because the Indians are the farm team for the Pirates. Okay.
Right.
So you've heard about the new pirate movie, right? That's rated R.
Yes, I have heard that one.
I should have known.
Had to get that.
And there will be flyers out everywhere letting people know about the admission structure for the event. It's a low-fee event. Individual tickets to come in are $4.50. A family of four is $12, and you can add additional family members for $2 each. And then we do have a group rate for 20 or more.
Cool.
And then the workshops are only $1.50 extra to actually have some one-on-one time with the artist. So it's very affordable. It's really unique to Indianapolis, of course, and to Indy Parks and Recreation. It's our first year doing it, of course, and it should just be a lot of fun. We're really excited.
Tell me about the art show, because that's sort of a whole, that's connected to it, but a whole separate thing.
I'm very pleased to be working with exhibits at the Garfield Park Art Center, and we have really, literally since I began in December, been racking our heads about what sort of exhibit we can have to go with an event this big. And we ultimately decided upon the Pirate Art Show. I've sent out calls to artists, and we are still accepting applications for any pirate-themed work.
Okay.
If people want to contact me at the Art Center, they can to find out about that, but it's definitely gone out through the Arts Council. It's the show is going to hang for the entire run of the Pirate Sand Adventure, which is July 18th through August 16th.
Okay.
It's going to fill both our main gallery, which is our upper, larger space that holds anywhere between 35 and 50 works, and then it will fill our lower-level gallery, which is our performing arts hallway where all of those studios are located. And I would love to have as much pirate themed work as possible.
And all types of artists.
All types of professional
artists, kids, amateur.
Youth, amateur, professional, mixed media, photography, painting. I know that I have one gentleman who submitted paper cuts.
Mm-hmm.
They're just beautiful variety of work from abstracts to very literal interpretations, very fanciful to very serious modern contemporary interpretations of the idea and concept of pirates. It should be a lot of fun. It is actually going to be a show that will feature works for sale.
Okay.
Which is wonderful. Artists will receive 90% from the sale of all their works, and we do expect an estimated attendance of 600 people a day through our building.
Wow.
So it's
great.
A wonderful opportunity for a large group show to come together and get a broad viewing audience. We're really excited about it.
Neat. Very neat. Now, there's as fun as pirates are, and they're obviously a lot of fun, there's also a lot of other stuff going on, though. I mean, that takes place down at Garfield Park this summer, and specifically at the Arts Center with other classes that you have in theater and in music. Tell me about some of those.
Mm-hmm. One of the things that we're most excited about, not only this summer but for the rest of the year, is a program that we've started called Everyday Art.
Mm-hmm.
And it is literally every day that we are open during the summer and then all weekends through the fall and winter, anyone can walk into our visual art studios. We have three beautiful visual art studios on the main gallery and take part in some sort of creative experience, whether it's visual art, performing art, music, theater. The project that we're featuring right now is costume design to go along with our Shakespeare costume exhibit that's in the lobby area gallery. So you can walk in and have a unique experience Anytime that you come.
And is that,
to the
you said
center.
Every day that you're open. So is that, what, like Monday through Friday or weekends as well? Or?
That's right. We're actually open Tuesdays through Sundays.
Tuesday through Sunday.
Monday's
okay.
The only day we're closed.
Okay, so Tuesday through Sunday, during what times can people like walk in and have this everyday art experience? I mean, like
1 o'clock to 6 o'clock is okay. The typical hours on during the week. We stay open late on Wednesdays and Thursdays until 9 o'clock. Okay. And then on the weekends, 10 to 5 Saturday, 1 to 5 Sunday.
Okay.
And then for the Pirate Sand Adventure, it's a whole new ball game for that month. We are actually open from 9 a.m. till 6 p.m. Then again on Wednesdays and Thursdays. The building will still be open till 9, so everyday art will be available.
Now, how does this tie in with other stuff going on at the park? For example, I mean, there's the big swimming pool down there mm-hmm. and stuff. So do you see, like, families coming down to, you know, go swimming for a while in the afternoon then coming over for an arts experience or, things like that?
I mean, absolutely. We're finding new ways to bring the buildings together within Garfield Park. Mm-hmm. Garfield Park is truly unique in that we have, you know, an arts center, which in and of itself, a park, run art center is a bit unique, but mm-hmm. we also have a conservatory and mm-hmm. sunken gardens, which is a classic mm-hmm. European garden. We have a beautiful new family center with a full aquatic center, gyms, mm-hmm. weight rooms, all of that. We have a McAllister Center, which is our large outdoor amphitheater, mm-hmm. numerous memorials and monuments mm-hmm. and statues around. It's really a park where you can spend an entire day. So we're framing the Pirate Sand Adventure, and in fact, many of our large events, is a day at Garfield.
Yeah.
You know, bring a picnic. It takes at least a day to make it to all these
mm-hmm.
facilities
absolutely.
And take part in all the things they
really
have to
take
offer.
It in.
Travis DiNicola with the Garfield Park Arts Center's Leslie Meyer and Tom Weidenbach. For more information about the center and the whole park, you can visit indieparks.org. Indieparks.org.
Thanks for joining us today. The music for today's show is courtesy of the Vaselli Wallrab Jazz Orchestra from their Heart and Soul album available through Owl Studios at owlstudios.com.
Please listen to The Art of the Matter again next Friday at 8 p.m. and Saturday at 4 p.m. I get to chat with the new president of the World Federation of Music Competitions, Indianapolis' own Glenn Kwok.
And I'll find out what's going on at both the Athenaeum this summer as well as the White River State Park. And, of course, we'll have our arts calendar that we call
What Do We Do? So please listen next Friday at 8 and Saturday at 4 for The Art of the Matter here on WFYI for your information.
You've been listening to The Art of the Matter, a weekly show about the arts in Indianapolis and Central Indiana. Your hosts are Sharon Gamble and Travis DiNicola. Today's Art of the Matter was produced and edited by Travis DiNicola. The Art of the Matter is made possible by the ongoing support of listeners like you and by grants from the Arts Council of Indianapolis and from the City of Indianapolis and by support from the Central Indiana Community Foundation, the Indiana Arts Commission, a state agency, and by the National Endowment for the Arts, a federal agency. The Art of the Matter on 90.1 FM, Indianapolis.